Blog Talk Radio.
Anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. And thank God that we are here just another day. Last week we didn't, on the day before Thanksgiving, we didn't air. But thank God that we're back. We're here today on November 28th, 2012. At 1800 p.m., which is 6 p.m. in the east. And thank God that we're here. We're live. We're here and live doing the broadcast on the day. So we thank God for all of our Twitter listeners and followers, all of our Blog Talk friends and listeners and followers, and our Facebook listeners, friends, and followers. We say, may the Lord bless you real good. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace, is our prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank God. So we thank you, Lord. So give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Like the psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has called from the east and the west and the north and the south, gathered us together from far places, from solitary places. Thank God that God setteth the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. In the dry land, the psalmist is talking about is the desert. And in the desert, there are no living waters to speak of in that particular text. And if you don't have the living water, you will spiritually die. So thank God for the living waters. So we thank God today. We just are so grateful to be able to be on the air one more time. And thank God for this great mystery of godliness, and that's what we're going to talk about on today. We're still talking about the Godhead, and I think it's probably been over 10 weeks since we've been on this subject. I don't even know how many, but you can't exhaust the word of the Lord. So we just thank God for all of our listeners, and I would like for you all to do me a favor if you can. And thank God that we want you to know, as we know, that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in awe. And this is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. And so he said that there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. He goes on to say, but unto every one of you is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? This is a question. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Goes on, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And thank God for the word. So that's in the book of Ephesians. We had started off in the fourth verse, in the fourth chapter, and we read on down to the 16th verse. So thank God for his word. So he goes on to say, this I say, brother, testify in the Lord, that henceforth ye walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past a feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But he goes on to say, but ye have not so learned Christ, so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, or that's lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put off, you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So that's the born again experience, is what he's talking about, the inner man. So what I was saying prior, when I just came on, I would like to find out from our listeners where some of you are listening from. There are some that listen live, but there are a majority of the listeners of this Truth Ministry, Blog Talk Truth Ministry, that listen on demand. And so I would like those of you that can, if you could send me an email and let me know where you're listening from. Now, we're broadcasting from Michigan. And then, you know, there's times we have three places that we have a broadcast this ministry from. And that is in Belleville, Michigan. That is in Ypsilanti, Michigan. And that is in Maumee, Ohio. We have also broadcast from. So we can broadcast from anywhere, but I would like for you all to take down my email address. That's truthministry 5525 at att.net. That is truth, truthministry 5525 at att.net. That is truthministry 5525 at att.net. if you can find the time, send me an email. I would like to know where you are listening to this broadcast from. And thank God for you all out there. So thank God for the means of Blog Talk Ministry. So many avenues and so many ways that we're able to communicate through technology, and that's a blessing. So that was the commission when he said unto them after he got up from the dead in Mark's gospel, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So also in Matthew's gospel, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and Lord, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we know that the name, he didn't say repeat after me, but he said baptizing them in the name. So of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So we know that name is Jesus. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So you can read about salvation in the Acts of the Apostles. So thank God for that. And so knowing that Jesus' earthly ministry, they were still under the law. So after he died, we went into grace. And then when the day of Pentecost was fully come, is when the Holy Ghost was poured out, the 50th day after the Passover. Knowing he was on earth for 40 days, showing himself and many infallible proofs, speaking to them, things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so also he said unto them, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. This is in St. Luke 24 and 44 and 45, somewhere along in there. He said unto them that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He went on to say, thus I send the promise of my Father, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem, and tarry you be endued with power from on high. So we know when the day of Pentecost is fully come, Holy Ghost was poured out. That was a fulfillment of the prophecy of the prophet Joel, or Joel, depending on whatever, some say Joel, some say Joel. But 2 and 28, and it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So that means Jew and Gentile, bond and free, male and female, it matters not, but he poured out of his spirit upon all flesh. We have to realize that this is why Jesus, who is the Son of Man, who is the Son of God, who had various titles, he was the Messiah. He was Christ the Lord. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. One time he was eating with publicans and sinners. The Pharisees tried to find fault, saying that he was a wine bibbler. He was eating with publicans and sinners, and Jesus let them know that he didn't. He said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So if you're sick, you need a doctor, is what he was saying. Then he went on to say, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So this is why he came. So we should have a mind to want to be saved. And incidentally, Jesus talked about hell more than he did heaven. So you read in some of the Gospels, he kept saying, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he's talking about don't fear him that is able to kill the body, but fear him that is able to kill both body, destroy both body and soul in hell. So there's times that the gospel is not going to be readily accepted. When I heard about the baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, I didn't readily receive it. I said, I was Baptist and I was going to stay Baptist. I mean, to be Baptist, John was called the John the Baptist because he was John the Baptizer. So it matters not. So thing of it is, there is like the Bible said, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Jesus made it plain and said some things, too many things people have not really listened to what he said. Like I said, I believe on a couple of weeks ago, and when he was talking about the woman at the well in the in St. John, I believe the fourth chapter. But anyway, he said, God is a spirit. These are the words of Jesus, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then on other times, we have brought to your attention the first three chapters in the book of the Revelation, the church ages. And now we're in the Laodicean age. And then so what was so important in those chapters and back in the Old Testament, the 95th Psalm, and in the book of the Hebrews, says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, what is the voice of God? The voice of God is the word of God. So we got to be honest with ourselves. Like I said, no one in their right mind want to be lost, want to go to a devil's hell. Matthew 25 and 41, hell was created for the devil and his angels. But you read on even farther in the Bible, there's a lake of fire which burneth and burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Nobody in their right mind want to go there. So no sense in fighting. You can't. That's what Apostle Paul was wholly sold out to Judaism. But he knew on the road to Damascus when he said, "Who art thou?" In the literal translation, Jehovah. Jehovah said, "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting." He was saying it's hard to kick against the pricks. Prick is something that you drive cattle with. It's a sharp object. You kick against the prick, you're going to hurt your own self because you're hurting yourself, and you kick against it because it is a sharp object. So you can't fight against God. This is what they were saying even in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, in the infancy of the church. They're saying, this be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, we cannot overthrow it. So if they went on to say, we don't want to be fighting against God. We don't want to be, that's really stupid. You can't win. You cannot win. God will tear you in pieces. And I'm saying you, I'm talking about me, all of us. So he loved us so much. That's why he gave. That's why Jesus made that quote in St. John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world. That treasure that's in the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Said the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Yes, the Father and the Son is the self same one. He came. He manifested himself in a body. So this is why when we come on, we read our introduction out of St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Sometimes I refer back to the book of Genesis 1 and 1. It says, in the beginning, God. And that is a divine testimony. In the beginning, God was only one witness on the stand, and that was God himself. And it was revealed unto Moses. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts to the children of men. So it was revealed unto Moses, the beginning, because nobody was back there in the beginning. So God created time for us to be ready to go into eternity with him. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to be lost. So I got to do right, whatever it costs me. I want to be saved. I am saved, I am being saved, and I shall be saved from the wrath to come. So this is what all the letters, and when you read in the book of Romans and all, is talking about. People being saved from the wrath to come. You can go back. Some people say they talk about the prophetic. The prophetic is Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Those were prophetic prophecies. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That is the office of sonship. The Son of God is the office that he's speaking through right now. But that's going to be come to an end, too. They're going to look upon me whom they appear, Zechariah 12 and 14. 12 and 10, the letter clause, and they're going to realize that they crucified the Lord of glory. So we just want to let you know that there, that God is one and his name is one. You read, especially in the book of the eagle-eyed prophet Isaiah, you will see so many times when the Lord asked the question himself, is there a God beside me? I don't know of any. He said, there's none with me, none after me, none before me, none beside me. There's only one God. So that's the great mystery. That's what we want to talk about on today. So we are today coming out of 1 Timothy 3 and 16. So very important. So you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. This is what Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, when he said, this is the third time I'm coming to you, that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So we go on. So there's no argument. We got to do just like the writer said, like I said in the 95th Psalm, when he was saying, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And the voice of God is the word of God. So don't want to be fighting against God. So we know here in this book of Timothy, and I love this. This is a pastoral book, and Apostle Paul was commending and giving instructions to his son Timothy in the gospel. So we know Timothy and Titus and Philemon in that order, these particular books. But this particular one, so he's letting him know things that are very important. He talked about if a man desired the office of a bishop, how he desired a good work. Then he went on to talk about the things, qualifications of a bishop as he was instructing his son in the gospel. So these things are so very important. So one thing you don't want to be named among you, you read in the book of Ephesians, your past life. You don't want that to be named among you. We were sinners. This is why the Lord came to save sinners. So I haven't forgot where I'm going with this, but I just want to digress a little bit and go back into the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians. So he's going on here. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? It's a question. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infamous, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And he goes on to say, such were some of you, and such were some of you. He's talking to the Corinthian church, and that applies to us too. Such were some of you, but now are you washed. You washed in water and baptism in the name of Jesus. Now are you sanctified, but ye are justified. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So you read in the book of, also in the book of Ephesians, he was saying, don't let these things be named among you as becometh saints. He mentioned other unclean things. So the thing about it is we categorize stuff. Sure, if people have said it and they are most definitely correct. You in a marriage, you should be faithful to your mate, whether you're in church or you're not in church. It just so happens to be a lot of people are not. But the thing about it is, it matters not. So if you were unfaithful before the Lord saved you, before you were born again, that is in your past, and God is not going to hold that against you. He came to save sinners. And see, the thing about it, not only that, but it matters not. If some people haven't committed adultery before the Lord saved them, but we all were liars. We told lies. The Bible says you come forth speaking lies. I mean, sometimes a baby cry just because he want a bottle or whatever, or because he want attention. I mean, we were shaping in iniquity, the Bible said, and in sin did our mother conceive us? So it matters not. I mean, we need God. We don't have to be a hardcore sinner, and that's the problem. People think they don't need the Lord. That's why he told the Pharisees that he didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. One time he told them, he said, the harlots and the publicans will enter into the kingdom of heaven before you will. Why is that? Really common sense. A harlot, a publican knows he's cheating people. A harlot knows what she's doing. The murderer or some of these people, they know what they're doing. They know they need help. They know they need God. So, I mean, we think, okay, I don't bother nobody. I treat my fellow man right. Good. But we still need to be born again. We cannot see the kingdom of God. So this is why it's so important. That's why he said the natural man. What is the natural man? The unregenerated man, the inner man in all of us. Doesn't matter. I mean, we are our spirit is nulla gender, neither male nor female. That's how we're going to be in the ages to come. But the natural man, he doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I mean, by nature, we fight our own battles. I mean, God didn't call us because we are children of God or because we are saints of God to just let people just slap us all around. Jesus didn't get slapped every day. I don't believe that. What I'm saying is we got to realize that the word is right, and the Lord will fight for you just like he did back there, fought for the children of Israel. He fought for Moses. He fought in Joshua days and the king's days. Many times he is a man of war. He is our battle axe. He will fight for us. So we have to realize that he said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. So, I mean, we don't have to spend a lot of time doing that. I mean, God didn't call us to let people make a fool out of us, or as the old people used to say, make a monkey out of us. No, and you're not going to con me out of my soul. That's the attitude that we should have, that we're going to believe God. We're going to stand fast in the liberty where which Christ has made us free. Don't be again entangled with the yoke of bondage. God called me out of sin and shame, made me a minister, just like the Apostle Paul's testimony. He was saying before, he was an injurious person, and some of those things that he did, that he said, he goes on to say, he was a blasphemer. Here in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, he said, I thank God, Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. This is Apostle Paul's testimony, and a persecutor, and an injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And he goes on, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So he goes on to say, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is Apostle Paul's testimony. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern of them that which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. And he goes on, now the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, honor, be honor and glory forever and ever, amen. I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Remember, this is a pastoral letter. According to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now, mind you, we are in spiritual warfare. He says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So he goes on, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, and giving of thanks, be made for all men. So this is our job as the church, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So we don't demonstrate, people get out there demonstrating all that. No, our job as the church to pray for people. Now, we don't get out there demonstrating and all that kind of stuff, but on the other hand, we don't believe in picketing or none of that. I belong to a union. I'm better a 40-plus year UAW member, do pay dues, retire from General Motors. So, I mean, the thing of it is our job is to pray. I mean, I never walk the picket line as being a child of God, but our job as children of God is to pray. So I'm not against it. I'm in it. I'm not against the union. I'm in the union. I believe in that. I believe the first union was God. He came to help the children of Israel, deliver them from their hard taskmasters. So he goes on to say, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Who's our Savior? God is our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the will of God. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men, that's his will, to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He goes on, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So these things that he is letting him No, so we walk on through this book. So he goes on to say, where unto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, that which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So people had different cultures and all with their time, is what he was addressing. But he says, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. So you got to understand, I'm going to make this plain about this here. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So what he's talking about here, in the home, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but be in silence. So that word also can be a quietness, or you're not having a debatable spirit. So that's what he's saying, not somebody, I'm the man, you got it my way or the highway and all that. No, that is not what he is saying. So in other words, even as you read on in the scriptures, we are to be subject one to another. We submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. So it's no lords over God's heritage. I mean, a real man of God, a husband that's a man of God, he wouldn't want to have his wife afraid of him or nothing of the sort. But like I say, in a real mother, they would everything should be, she is the first one to be considered in the household, but a mother is going to consider her children. So I mean, God's way is the right way, and it's not a hard way. That's why Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. He goes on to say, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I believe that's Matthew 11:28, if I'm not mistaken, where that quote is coming from. So that's the kind of God we're serving. He, like I said, he's, yes, and that's Matthew 11:28, where that quote starts off. So he doesn't want us to be afraid of him, but the fear that we should have for the Lord is reverential fear. And I'm talking about the one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today, like I said, today we're talking about the one God. So we kind of starting off because we are coming out of this pastoral a book which Apostle Paul wrote. And so much meat here that when he wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel to instruct him and let him know what he must do and warn him and every thing that goes along with that. And so in the third chapter, he's talking about if you, a man desired the office of a bishop, he desired a good work, and how you had to be blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. So what he's saying is you can't have two wives at one time like those kings did back then. That wasn't God's will. I mean, some things they've done, but that's not how it's supposed to go. So he goes on here about things that he needed to do as a minister or as an overseer of the Church of God, and also the same qualifications that a deacon had to have. You know, not a striker, nor greedy or filthy lucre, which is money, patient, not a brawler, not covetous, and one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And he goes on, if you don't know how to rule your own house, how shall you take care of the Church of God? Can't be a novice, so you be full of pride and fall into condemnation of a devil. You know, you got to have a good report of them that are without, you know, as well as them that are within. He's talking about other people, maybe people that are not even in the church. Same qualifications with the deacon. You can't be greedy or filthy lucre. You got to hold the mystery of the faith and a pure conscience. So that's what we're going to talk about. We go on. Let them be first proved, use the office of a deacon, be found blameless. Even must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Deacons, same qualification, like I said, that a bishop has to have. They that use the office of a deacon well purchase themselves a good decree and great boldness in the faith, which is in, who is the faith in? Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. He's talking about in your body, the house of God. Our body is the temple of God. Our body is the church of the church of God. Our body. This is what you're gonna have to do. We're gonna give account for the deeds that are done in our body. So that's why people do things, they premeditate things, they want to pay people back and all of that. I mean, God will do that. I mean, there's too many examples in the Bible, like Haman and I forget the other guy in the book of Esther. He ended up setting a trap for Mordecai, and he ended up hung in the gallows, his own self. I believe it was Haman. So, I mean, you could be boomeranged. God is not playing. He hasn't changed, and he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So we got to have the attitude. I mean, we should be mad as hell at hell. We should be mad at the things that God is mad at. So, not spending our energy in a whole lot of things. I mean, there's a project that we all have to work on, and that is get in the mirror and look at yourself. You can literally look in the mirror. That's the project you got to work on. You tell yourself you're going to do right. But the mirror that you need to really concern yourself about is the word of the Lord. And that's why James said, look into the perfect law of liberty. And so you look in there, you want to be a forgetful hearer of the word, but you want to be a doer. So if you be a hearer and not a doer, you're like a man looking at his natural face in a glass and straightway forget what manner of man he was. But you want to be a doer of the work to be blessed in your deed. You don't want to be a hearer only, but you're deceiving your own self if you hear the word of God and you don't do something about it. So like I always like to say, when Peter preached that first message on the day of Pentecost, he exhorted with many words, he exhorted and testified, and he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So we have to save ourselves. We can't, the husband can't save the wife can't save the husband, then you can't save your children. You have to save yourself. So what we got to do as people of God, live right, do right to the best of our ability. People know we're saved. They know we're not going to just lie, not going to just curse people out and all of that. Not saying if somebody slipped and said something, that don't mean they're lost. But the point being, we don't practice sin. So that's why the Bible said, if his word is in you, his seed remaineth you in you, you cannot sin because you're born of God. So in other words, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So you got God's word in you. You want to do right. You're not supposed to let the sun down, go down on your wrath. You're supposed to be angry and sin not. Not be angry with your mate. Not be angry with your brother, but get it straight times. That means right away. Do you want to have that type of attitude? What if the Lord comes before the next morning and you're angry with your wife, or you're angry with your husband, or you are angry with your spouse? Either way it goes, you don't want to be like that. You want to be raptured out of here. So the Lord is going to come soon. We don't know. It may be morn. It may be night. It may be noon, but Jesus is coming soon. We don't want to be left. So we want to have the right attitude. So he goes on here about the church of the living God, how you ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. And so he goes on here without controversy. So you listen to everything. Apostle Paul says, what I've been teaching you, what I've been showing you, what I've been saying is without controversy. There should be no controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. Now, you know that a mystery is a hidden truth. And I mean, people couldn't take, even that's one thing about a Jew. They know that there is one God. So you got to understand, Jesus came initially to the Israelites. And he was saying, when that woman was saying, how she wanted, what she wanted from Jesus, and he was saying, it's not meat to give the children's bread to the dogs. She said, truth, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Because he was saying he came to, not for you, but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was his initial people that he came for. And that's why John said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He went on to say, not for them that are born of the will of God or of the will of man, but, the will of God. So the point being, I'm going to go back there. So it's just so very important what he was saying. So he said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There it is right there. We know that is the name of Jesus. So he goes on to say, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And you see, that's, we don't read all of that when we do our intro. But he goes on to say, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's why he goes on to say, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is who of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. So we read the other part. And for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So that's what is so important. Christ Jesus came into the world, Apostle Paul said, to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So that's the great mystery of godliness. So the subject here, we go on, he says, God was manifest in the flesh. The subject is God. That's the thing that we're trying to get you to see. So let's go to look at some things that the master said. And it's amazing when we look at various gospels we can see things that happen. Now, St. John was a mighty gospel because John talked about a divine God. I mean, there's some things in here that you will be shaking your head and wondering about when you get into St. John, because he goes on getting right to the point about who the master was, and the master is talking. So Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, of whom there is no guile." Now this is Jesus talking. Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" This is in St. John, the first chapter, and the 48th verse. I'm talking about the Godhead. Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" This is Jesus talking. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee." Now, this is Jesus talking to Nathanael. Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Notice now, this is Nathanael talking to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." This is Jesus talking to Nathanael. And he said unto him, Jesus said to Nathanael, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." My God, who was he talking to? My God, my God. And I imagine, in his word, God cannot lie, but when he swear by no greater, he swear by himself, which means he swore alone by two immutable things, it was impossible for God to lie. Immutable, that means unchanging. He can't change. He declared the end from the beginning, ancient things, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." I imagine, man, this man, he saw the mighty hand of God. He saw, just like Jesus says, you're going to see, "Hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." So I think there are other things here. And I'm trying to move right along because we don't have a lot of time. But there's things that Jesus said. A lot of people just read over. They don't really get it. Who is talking here? So we go on here in the second chapter of St. John. Everybody know about the marriage that he went to. And one of the first miracles that Jesus had performed when he turned the water into wine. So they were at a wedding. They were at a marriage. Not a wedding, at a marriage. The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." There were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. They said, that's about 9 gallons. Jesus said unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them to the brim. And he said unto them, "Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. When men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine even until now." Here's the key right here. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. So we see who is talking, what is going on here. So you heard about the money charges and how he went in and said, don't make my father's house a house of merchandise. But anyway, he goes on here, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. They didn't know what he was talking about. They said, the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. That is a long time. And without reared up in 3 days, but he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered the word, remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So that's why we got to pay very close attention. So just like he said, don't believe me. Believe me for the very work's sake. He had to listen to what he was saying and watch what he was doing. And so that's why he was saying, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now this is Jesus talking. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Notice that ETH. You got to keep on believing. So you got to do what he says. It's like he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. But anyway, he goes on, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Notice, this is Jesus talking. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. In other words, you don't want it to be made manifest. You don't want it to be shown. People do stuff in the dark. They don't want it to be uncovered, a revelation of what was going on, that people can see it. It's made manifest. They don't want that. But everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So if you're doing what's right, and a lot of times people that are doing things and helping people and all, they're not boasting in what they do, bragging in what they do, but there are people that do things and they keep it low key, as we would say. In other words, just like the Bible say, let another man praise thee and not your own lips. So some people, other folks have to talk about what they're doing, because they're not going to blow their own horn. There's times when you do have to blow your own horn, but they're not blowing their own horn. Apostle Paul had to do it at times, but a lot of times when people are doing good deeds, they are low-keyed about it. Somebody else will testify about what they're doing, because they're not bragging on them. This is very important. I think I made mention of this on the last broadcast a couple of weeks ago, about this woman at the well in the fourth chapter of St. John. So, and even now, this is so very important, and we're talking about the mystery of godliness, how God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. Remember, I told you the subject is not Jesus. The subject is God in 1 John 3:16 about this great mystery. So, but here is what you can keep and take to heart, is what's so very important. There's two things that are very important. And just this is what Jesus, and I said this, if those of you who have listened a couple weeks ago, but there's two things that are very important. And these two things Jesus said to the woman at the well. That is, he said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, number one, and who it is that saith to thee, give me the drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. That is so important. The gift of God and who it is talking to you, or who it is asking you. So very important. So he didn't never just come right out and say who he was, but the things that he did, and even they said, are you the king of the Jews? Thou sayest, you know, do this, come down, we'll believe you. No, they won't. Devil is a lie. Jesus had to die. He had to be lifted up. He said, if I be lifted up, we'll draw all men unto me. He had to be lifted up on that cross. He had to be made a curse on that cross. In the book of Galatians, says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, as is written. He was made a curse for us. He's not going to be mocked. They laughed and smote him and spit. Nasty spit. Wasn't no just little bubbles that little kid. I don't believe it was little white bubbles that little kids spit. I believe it was rotten tooth folks with might have had a nasty cold that spit nasty spit in his face. That disgusting, just to insult him. And then like one said, who prophesied? Tell me who it is that smote thee. Oh, he going to tell him. In his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, yeah. He's going to tell him the dead and small and great are going to stand before God. They're going to know who he is. They're going to know that they crucified the Lord of glory. And so we go on here. And so during so much that he said and about people honoring the Father and honoring the Son. And if you honor the Son, you honor the Father and wonders that he did. And the hour is coming in which all they that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Talking about the Father himself have life in himself. So he hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. They have given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. So all judgment is given unto the Son or the office of sonship. Now this is in the St. John, and I know our time is just about gone. We're going to have to get back in here on next week. But you see, I believe it's in the 7th chapter of Matthew when Jesus says, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, have we done cast out devils in your names and done many wonderful works in your names. He went on to say, I profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Why is it some people are ashamed of the name of Jesus? You're worshiping, you're serving God. It's the apostles' doctrine. And incidentally, there's no apostolic authority if you're not apostolic. Apostolic, those are the ones, there are no apostles nowadays, and people get all hot over that. Job of an apostle, where they were an eyewitness, they laid the foundation, they wrote the New Testament scriptures, they were an eyewitness, and they died a horrible death. And so next week we're going to get back in, so we just thank you on today. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.